Welcome to the STC Daily Podcast. This year, having already looked at Acts and Ephesians, we're focusing on some other New Testament letters. If this podcast encourages you, why not pass on the link?
Hello everyone, my name is James and welcome to Thursday's podcast. Today our passage is 1 Peter 2 verses 11 to 25, and today and tomorrow we're going to finish first chapter 2 and start chapter 3. In your Bibles, like mine in front of you, you might spot the title, Living Godly Lives in a Pagan Society. In other words, how do we practically live as God's people in the world today? Peter is going to go on and describe three examples, how we can relate to the government, how we relate in the workplace, and how we relate to our other halves within marriage. I'm going to finish the week by looking at husbands and wives tomorrow. Before he gets into the nitty-gritty, Peter needs us to remember that we have been called by God. We do right to remember verse 9 from yesterday. It sets the scene for today and tomorrow. It goes like this. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. What does it mean to be called? Well, I remember getting my first phone. I asked for one when I started high school. We're talking 2001. So they're starting to become more common, but not everyone had one like today. If you know, you know. Now, to earn my phone, I had to prove myself worthy of one to my mother. I was tasked to remember 20 numbers off by heart to show her I had use of a phone. She did not entertain the plea that phones had contact lists built in. She insisted I had to complete the task and prove myself worthy of the indestructible Nokia 3210. The point of that is this. When you get a call, it disrupts you to take notice and respond. If we notice, that is, my phone's been largely on silent since 2001, but the design is there. When we are called, we are disrupted from what we're doing, we take notice and we respond. Before we start to think about our topic for the next 2 days, how to live as a Christian in today's world, we need to answer the question, are we a Christian? Have we been called? Because the pitfall before us is that we start to see these next examples of living life better relating to the government, the workplace, and marriage, and think, if I act like that, does it make me a Christian? Is a Christian someone who pays their taxes, works hard, and loves people sacrificially? If I act like a Christian, does that make me a Christian? No. A Christian is someone who has been called, disrupted, so to speak, and has made a decision to submit to Jesus, recognizing he gave his life for us so that we can live our lives for him. This might have already happened to you, or it might be something that's happening to you right now. The times we are in are a disturbance in many ways. I mentioned it yesterday. As Christians, we believe that God did not send COVID-19, but he can use it. Perhaps the change in usual rhythms has allowed for space to be aware of God for the first time trying to reveal himself to you. How will you answer the call? Are you a Christian or not? Now, looking at this letter this way, we're going to focus on two aspects included in our verses about living Christianly towards the government and the workplace. In many ways, this letter connects us with our origin story as Christian people. We need to remember that it is not just an intellectual exercise when it comes to studying the Bible. This letter is to real people in the real part of the world in a real time in history. They are our forefathers and mothers of the faith, and they are living under the Roman Empire, facing hostility and harassment. To make a connection to the present day, that I admit is not perfect, but it might be helpful, it feels like we're under the rule of something right now, a different kind of global empire, this disease called COVID-19, that in many ways, this thing over us does not bless us, but it opposes us. But it was in those environments and with those limitations that the Jesus movement in its early days grew and thrived. And in an age where many people had written off Christianity, saying its best days lay in its past, it's looking like our best days might be on the horizon. We started another Alpha course this week, and it was great to meet more people out there who are beginning to hear the sound of the phone ringing, that God might just be calling them and they want to explore it. So how do Christians live in the world today? Towards governments and employers, and what do we do when they're oppressive? Well, the Bible says here, we submit to authority. even if it's unjust? I hear you asking. Yes, we're to show respect and honour because violence solves nothing and it betrays the way of Jesus, who loved his enemies. Jesus did not preach violence. He came at oppression with the opposite spirit, teaching us to love our enemies, loving those who seek to do us harm. I realise I'm writing these words in a week where thousands have taken to the streets across the world to protest governments, to express outrage, to stand in solidarity, and to speak out and take action against oppressive systems. I was one of them, and I stand by it. I did so safely and non-violently, I hasten to add. But I'll be honest with you, I've really wrestled this week on how to talk on this scripture in light of the present day. How do we take responsibility as followers of Jesus to live under governments and those in authority over us? These words that are 2,000 years old feel very relevant right now. And if you're sitting with a Bible open in front of you, you will see that verse 18 uses the example of how slaves should relate to their masters. And we'll hear the whole text of what we're studying today after this reflection. It's hard to read. Now, I've decided not to make that the focus of today's reflection because the verses are not the focus. We've already established in chapter 1 that earthly masters are not the real masters. Jesus is. That said, it is there. Peter, the writer, is a realist. The church that he is writing to isn't made up exclusively of wealthy and powerful people in that culture. It was a new kind of community that spanned the breadth of society and still should today. Where else should we be able to find unity in diversity than in the church? And we must keep working hard at this. That said, Peter was right to encourage those who are coming to a living faith in Jesus yet find themselves in slavery. Here is what I'm learning from these Bible verses today and the times that we're in. Submitting to authority is not about passivity and silence. As we are so quick to imagine, submitting is not about passivity and silence. That is equally not the way of Jesus as violent revolution is. For any students listening, you'll understand this. Submitting is like turning in a paper. We must work hard to observe, reflect, discuss, but also to plan a way forward together and hold each other to account, as is our practice at STC. We must be open to hearing what God is saying to us, and we must do something about it. And in times of hardship or oppression from systems or difficulty with employers, we can still submit to them, to those in authority over us. Submit on paper, via email, through petitions on government websites, through local groups or peaceful protests or through line management at work. We must share what we think and feel is right and submit it to those in authority. But the Christian is to do so. In verse 17, it says, we do so with respect, with love, with fear of God, which can also be translated as reverence, and with honour. Our actions do not save us, but how we act empowers our words of truth and hope to a world that needs to hear them. Let's pray together. God, thank you that we have heard, or that we are starting to hear, you calling us. Come and fill us again with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would help us to understand the Bible and how we might live as people of light in the world today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Peter 2 verses 11 to 25. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves, for the Lord's sake, to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honour the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up the pain of an unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Still your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, I'm called to your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fate. My soul cries out.